first team offense.
I'm happy with a lot of things. Happy the way that we're running the football. Happy the way that we're controlling line of scrimmage. The fact that we've had no turnovers. You know, the thing we got to do is we got to finish. And that we've been shooting ourselves in the foot this last game. You know, had a multiple 10-play drive plus. You know, had a 13 and a 10 and eight, couple eights. So I've been happy with that, but we need to finish drives, finish games, and that's how we're going to win. We're not going to win putting the game in the hand of a field goal kicker.
Aside from finishing, are there some things you're looking for this week when you guys have a first-teamers out there for a good bit that maybe you haven't seen in the first two?
Well, no, it's finished. I want to see us take the ball down the field like we did against Cincinnati. It was the sixth best defense in the National Football League last year, and we drive down. I want to score 7 points. I don't want to walk away with field goals, and you know, I don't want to have penalties in the red zone. I don't want to have drop balls.
Other than, I mean, you have any other mistakes that are consistent other than dropping passes? Are you guys executing the way you want them to, or have you had some lapses there as well?
No, I've been pleased with the execution. It's the concentration, and you know, we keep saying the word. It's finished. Is you know, drop balls are going to happen. They just can't happen. In the, you know. Jack Doyle probably dropped one ball at camp, and he does it on 3rd and 4 in the red zone on the 12-yard line or whatever it was. And it was going to have it was going to be a first down and continue to drive. So,
Kenny, I know it's dangerous to read it into body language. He's a guy that's always kind of got a smile on his face and is good at laughing things off. Seems like though, in terms of precise routes, in terms of collecting balls that hit him in the hands, he's not where you'd expect a guy that you'd want to be a number one type receiver.
Well, I've been pleased with the way he's run routes, but he needs to make plays when his opportunity is called. When his opportunity comes, it's man coverage, and you know he runs a good route, and he gets open, and he drops the ball. You know, and then Kenny's a much better player than that.
Well, I mean, what can you do about drop balls other than just, I mean, guys are obviously trying to catch up.
No, it's just focus. Yeah. He needs to concentrate and focus and do his job. When you're wide open and you drop balls like that, it's just a lack of concentration. He was going to run after the catch. He knew he'd beat the guy on the route. It was man coverage. The guy's trailing him. He has a chance to catch it and run out the back door on the dagger.
Is it bad news that it's a number of different guys who have dropped balls, or is it good news that it's not one guy over and over and over again?
Anytime you drop ball, it's bad news because it's a lack of concentration. And those things, that, you know, drop balls, penalties, turnovers, those are things that undermine your offense, and we need to get that corrected.
Are you of the philosophy that you hammer guys over it and repeatedly talk about it, or is there a point at which, coaching wise, you say, hey, maybe we need to not draw so much attention to it because guys are squeezing it?
There's a fine line that, but there's also a fine line of we have enough depth where we'll put someone else in at some point. You know, the guys can make continual mistakes and drop balls. And I'm not saying we're demoting anyone at this point or anything like that, but we're deep enough where. That, you know, the reality is that can start happening.
What does Delaney coming back do for you guys on the offense? How does he open things?
Well, it's a different
up?
If it's a different playmaker, a guy that can do a lot of different things, and you know, we got to get him up to speed with what he's missed last couple weeks, and so that's what he brings. He brings a different different move tight end that we don't have right now.
Yeah, what are some things, you know, in general terms that you can do with him that.
He has the ability to play on the line of scrimmage in the backfield, split out wide. So we have a little more flexibility in our 12 personnel, our two tight end, two receiver sets to be able to do a little bit more with him.
What's the ideal mismatch with him, or is it that he's a mismatch for anybody, or is it ideal to get a linebacker with him or a DB with him? Or
well, it's there's multiple things. It could be being a 12 personnel, getting their nickel on the field, and now you're in two back running the football. It could be getting man coverage, him matched up out wide on a linebacker or safety, and he has the ability and the speed to win.
You're going to have to hold some stuff back from him and fear not of overworking him too much early. I mean, and how much of a fine line is that? One to get him up to speed, but also not one to.
Well, I want to hit him with everything, but there is a fine line of, you know, we're going to start focusing on Atlanta tomorrow, and, you know, so whatever we decide, we'll talk about play times tomorrow, talk about, you know, how much he's going to play, if he's going to play, and, you know, the package, whatever it is, be minimal with that at this point.
How much has hurt Kendall and his all the progress he'd made to be out now for a couple of weeks, and what can he do to not fall real far behind?
I don't know that it hurts Kendall as much as it hurts Jake, because I think Kendall Wright's a special talent. I think he's one of the better slot players in the National Football League, and I think that he's had a great camp, and he's a guy that I definitely trust and I count on to make plays for this offense, and so does Jake. And Kendall's in the training room right now working, and he'll be back sooner than everyone thinks, I'm sure.
Does Damian have a
Well, he has been mixing in with the ones and twos, but he'll start in the slot for us, and he'll be the F and replace Kendall in that role for the time being.
Have you been pleased with the way he's caught the ball?
I've been extremely pleased. I think Damian's been the guy maybe has had the best camp that no one's talking about the last two preseason games. He's made tough catches. He's gotten open. He's a guy's a competitor, and I think that I think Sean Jefferson's done a great job of bringing that side out of Damian.
This offense, Dell, is the are your receivers being asked to run more routes rather than maybe the quarterback throwing the ball to a spot and expecting them to be there?
There's a little bit of both. You know, the message that we keep preaching to these guys is be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there and don't fool the quarterback. So there's an element of there is timing in the offense of it's going to be five, no hitch, and you got to be on the inside edge of the numbers, 12 yards deep, and catch it at 10 yards on the inside edge. So there's an element of both.
How was Jake Saturday compared to preseason game number one? And what would you like to see him do even better?
I was really pleased with Jake. I thought he played well. I thought he managed the team well. You know, I think you bat take away three drops, and, you know, he ends up 15 for 20. We probably, you know, it's 10-0 at one point, and, you know, we're moving the football, and he's doing a nice job. The first drive, I was really happy with him. And then even after the drops and stuff, he continued to compete and battle and bounce back. And overall, I thought he played his best preseason game to this point.
Has Ryan kind of stepped it up himself maybe in games compared to maybe what you saw in practice?
Well, I think Ryan's starting to feel more and more comfortable with the offense. So I think that's why the production has increased. Ryan's obviously a good player and a smart player, and he's a better athlete than what people give him credit for. He does have the ability to move and scramble and make plays that way.
About the success of the running game. Has it opened up the call sheet for you the way you sort of envisioned and by staying ahead of the chains a little bit?
It has. The biggest thing to this point has been able to stay ahead of the chains and stay in second four, stay in second five, and second six. The thing we got to stay out of is second 10 and third and eight, so stay out of those long, obvious drop back pass situations. You know, the one thing I was pleased with, we had the holding call that, derailed us a little bit when we were driving on the Stew and made it first and 20, but we got back into third and four, like we always talk about doing, and we drop a ball on third and four in the red zone right there. But it's those are things, managing those situations long down distance, that's where the biggest stress for quarterback comes.
So you've been able to sort of get a good look at how your offense, you're seeing your offense functions the way you want it to then in terms of the options you have when you get in those situations?
Yes, yeah, so I feel like we have. Just the running game has opened that up, and we haven't shown everything to this point, and we're not going to until the regular season. But as long as we stay ahead of the chains, I feel good about what this offense can do.
With the two, I was just going to ask, is that a function of having stretches where eight of nine plays or runs?
Well, I've said this to you guys before. If we can throw 27 straight fastballs, we're going to. And if we don't have to throw the football, or it may be a series where we need to throw the ball every snap, we may need to throw it eight out of nine snaps. Whatever we're going to do, whatever that advantageous is for us at that time is what we're going to do. And obviously, if you can run the ball down the field and go in a seven or eight play drive where you just run the ball down the field, you know, knocking out four, five, six, seven at a carry, then we'll do that.
Speaking of that running game, is that the two-back system, is that kind of what you envision it happening? Is what happened in Cincinnati. CJ didn't get off to a great start, but a different pace guy comes in and starts getting some success.
Yeah, we're very fortunate, you know, it's because we have two good running backs. And we said before, you can't necessarily group Sean Green as a change of pace guy because he's a guy that can carry the load as well. You know, in the first game, CJ had the hot hand, and Sean played well. You know, and CJ didn't start off as fast as what he would have liked. And it's just some of it's what the defense was doing. Some of it was, the people around him. And then Sean came in and, started creasing him down up the middle, and CJ came in and hit the blast play. Probably would have scored if he hadn't gotten tripped up.
Where are you at the center position? How close are you to coming to decision?
I think we're getting a lot closer. Like, we'll talk about that stuff for Atlanta tonight. We haven't gotten that far. You know, I think that Coach Munchak and Coach Matthews and myself and Rustin will sit down at some point in the next day or two and try to figure out this week and try to determine whether now's the time to make the decision or do we give it another week.
How have those two starters done, Turner and Velasco, when they've had opportunities?
Both of them have been solid. Both of them have performed well, done some good things up front. And we'll see, this week will be another big test for whoever gets the nod in the starting spot.
How close Doyle and Barton, and how are they maybe different in how you want to use them?
Well, I think to this point, Jack Doyle's kind of been the guy that's the sleeper of the camp that's done a really good job. That that's battling for a roster spot, and I've been really pleased with him. You know, the disappointing thing was when you drop a ball on third down when you're in with the ones and you're an undrafted rookie free agent, but he's a guy that we'll give a second chance to and see how he responds to it. But when you're given an opportunity, it doesn't matter what you've done in practice. It's a production-based business, and if you drop balls and you know under the lights, then it's it's going to stand out.
With Preston, is it safe to say maybe Preston back in when you were here, 2006, 2007, might have been could have potentially been your best receiver on some of those teams, and now he's one of these guys that's fighting on the back end?
Well, we're fortunate that way that we have Mike, because Mike is a solid player, and Mike could start for some other teams across the league. You know, so and he's competing hard, and he's had a nice camp, and hope that he finishes strong in the next 2 weeks.
I mean, I know you've been asked before. What's a reasonable expectation on how many guys you can keep? How many receivers you can keep?
Well, I want 9. Yeah. Rustin's probably gonna say 6.
Yeah.
There's always the number you battle back between 5 and 6. You know, and still gotta make a decision with Kevin Walter and Mariani, and so that's gonna be on offense. That's the toughest spot we have to decide between, because we've got 9 or 10 guys that are legitimate NFL receivers, and you know we were dealing with some injuries and stuff like that, so that decision is not going to be easy for Coach Munchak and Rustin.
Mariani, how was he doing before he got hurt, and how much does it hurt his ability to keep up with what you're preaching?
Well, you know, Mark was doing a really good job up until he got hurt, and you know the thing is we have so much. We have tape. We know Mark very well. You know, he's been with me since we drafted him. So we know him. And it's just a matter of now it's the numbers. It's a return game. There's a lot of different things that play into it. You know, if it was my choice, he'd definitely be here.
Yeah.